Give him praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood, Father. Thank you for sending the Lord, taking our place, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, he's worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory to God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Feel the Spirit of God here with us. Knowing as promise lays right here, that he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. He's such a good God to us, brother, sister. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's get right into the Word. I said something Sunday that I got the inspiration for that service a little earlier than normal. Well, we're back on schedule, so. I'm just glad when it shows up. It's just one of those things, you know. And you've got to have it or you can't do it. That's all there is to it. Yeah, if you don't have inspiration, you can't really preach. Yeah, and just like Brother Branham talked about Job and his trial, he said what was really bothering Job isn't necessarily the trial itself, is that he couldn't find the inspiration of the Lord that he was so used to being able to find. And God kept that from him to test him. We understand we go through those seasons where it just feels like we just said he don't forsake you, but you sure can't seem to figure out where he's at. And God will allow you to do that just to see if you really believe what you say you believe. Amen. Anyone can serve God when everything's going just fine, but oh my, when things start falling apart, you tend to realize where people really got their faith or not. Amen. And they'll usually run for other things, but I believe there's a bride who can't. Because she just isn't all that. She's the Word. She's got to go to the Word because that's what she is. You know, there's not any manufacturing about it. That's just what she is. And I trust you believe as I do. I'm part of that. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord tonight. As Dad said, we're going to be gone next Wednesday. Brother Alexander will be speaking for us. I hope it's a blessing. I trust it'll be a blessing. Now don't miss, or how do I want to say it? Make sure you miss me a little bit. There you go. If you don't miss me at all, I'm going to wonder if you love me or not. But just going to visit Ellie's family, I try to get down there at least twice a year, you know, so you can be with her family and things. So that's where we'll be at. James chapter 4 tonight, if you have your Bibles. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I'd like to turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, verse 13. Joshua speaking to the children of Israel here after they had gone into the promised land. Joshua 24, verse 13. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them, and the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'd like to speak on for the subject tonight, choose your stimulation. I'll say that again. Choose your stimulation. So let's bow our heads before Him. With every head bowed, and I trust your heart before Him. Is there a need you'd like to lift up to the Lord tonight? Say, Lord, you know what's behind my hand, and I trust it to you, Lord. I come expecting. Let's pray with all our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gathering of the saints again tonight. We thank you for a refuge from this world that we have to run through day in and day out. But Lord, we can come to the house of God. You've still allowed us to have the freedom to gather with other saints, Lord, and to think that we sit in the presence of the sons and daughters of God, that we sit together with those who will spend eternity with you and will rule and reign with Christ. What a privilege it is to be in your house tonight, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. And we pray we wouldn't be bogged down with the things of the world and what our flesh has to say about it, but may something in the heart of every person here, the Word of God that you planted in there, may it be stimulated by the Word today and bring forth fruit to your name, bring forth joy and peace and love. And Lord, may you bring forth every need that these people have. Lord, I can't do it, but I know that you already did, Father. And I pray our faith would rise, Lord, and each one would grab the promise they have need of tonight. Speak to us from heaven, Lord. Go into our hearts. Go into our secret places and take out anything, Lord, that isn't your word. Make us just like you tonight. Move in this service, Lord, according to your word. Forgive us, Lord, of our many sins and shortcomings. May you help us, Lord, and wash us afresh and rejuvenate us once again by your Spirit. Have your way tonight, we pray, as we trust it to you with all of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Sure been enjoying the book of James that we've been studying here in the Bible. I love the Word of God, and I love combing through it. It's one of those things, you know, you read something, and then you think, well, I've got what that is, and you try to move on. But the Word of God don't work that way. You go back and read again, and there's something else in there. And you read again, there's something else in there. And some people think that, you know, eventually that runs out, but you miss something. If it was some nice textbook or something that we were studying, you know, eventually you know it. You know it in and out and everything else. But the Word is God. And God is infinite. God has no ending. Just by the time you think He got it figured out, He's got something else. And that never runs out, brother, sister. I believe in the ages to come, God will eternally reveal Himself to His children. And don't ask me to explain that. Don't ask me to say, how can you believe that? I know that's what it is, and I believe it with all my heart. How could God take Himself and hide Himself in a book this small, the God of eternity? Don't ask me how. Some people think it's a big book, but when you think about how big God could be, how complicated He could have made Himself, and He simplified it down to this, it shows you there's revelation after revelation after revelation. Hallelujah, and God is not sparse to give His children revelation. What's the main problem? We don't never ask for it, do we? Just like I was telling, that testimony I turned in today about my air conditioning, you know, I got realizing I'm trying to get this fixed myself. I got this, Lord. You know, I'll call them up. They'll come here. Guy come the first time, went through. He said I had insulation in the way. That was the problem. I'm like, well, that might be a problem, but I don't think that would turn it off to where I can't feel nothing. And sure enough, came in, same guy, same thing, but I prayed this time. And when he got there, he could show it to me, but he said one half was still lit up. It was like something with the electricity. Other half was burned out. When he came last time, it was still working fine, but when he came this time, it tripped out. And he was able to find it. Why did it trip out when he came? See, some people think, that ain't no big deal, but that's my God. Yeah. And I hate to break it to you, if that don't make you happy when we pray for something and it happens, choose you this day who you'll serve. Choose you this day what will stimulate you and what doesn't, brother, sister. Because we're starting to get a condition inside of our churches, inside of our members, to where the Word doesn't stimulate us. To where the Word coming to pass. Some people, that was a nice testimony. But my, did you see the ball game last night? Wasn't that amazing? No, it wasn't amazing. It wasn't that great. But when you tell me that you took a promise of God on your heart and something the doctor said could never be touched, could never be healed, and it was delivered, that stimulates me, brother, sister. And I say it just like Joshua. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Don't say it with your mouth, say it with your heart. And if it's real, it's going to stimulate. Amen. Don't tell me that you put your heart into something and ain't no emotion behind it. Some people think God made robot Christians. They just praise the Lord. That's it. No, there's something comes out of the heart. It's a living, breathing. The revelation of the word isn't that it was this book. It's that the word is the person of Christ. And the person of Christ is inside the heart of every children because we're his child. And just as the life of my father was passed and it made me, the life of God came into his son. Hallelujah. Manifested in flesh. But inside there, he wanted to reproduce himself. And that same life came down and it filtered right into the children of God. Amen. To where they are bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh, and the life of his life. And when the word was fulfilled, Christ got excited about it. Don't tell me the word gets fulfilled and you just say, well, that was nice, I guess. But you see the new car I got. Well, that might be a good blessing, but you know, at the end of the day, well, praise the Lord. As long as you give God praise for it, that's good. That's the main thing. Praise the Lord. He blessed me with that. Praise the Lord. Too many times it's, man, yeah, I'm rolling up my sleeves right now, right? Look what I got. Look at me. What do you mean look at you? You didn't get this. Some people say praise the Lord, but I think they mean praise me. Did you? Well, I worked real hard and I did this and that. No, it's the grace of God you got that. That's right. I don't care how hard you work. The Bible doesn't say that. If the Lord don't build it, they labor in vain. Sure, you're laboring, but it's in vain. You're working real hard, but it don't mean squat. It's just like practice. You know, you could, a football team, I remember at the high school, they were having a real bad year, and somebody come up and try to say something like, but you know how hard they were working this summer? You know how much they did? And you know what? It don't matter. You lost, boys. You put in a lot, but you got no output. I wonder what's wrong with us, brother, sister, when we go to take the promises of God and we just, oh, it's just so hard. I just can't quite get to church. I can't read my Bible. Do you understand how hard it is to be a Christian this day? Come on. Oh, but God, heal me, heal me, heal me. Oh, but you know, I did finally turn on a tape one day and kept watching my video while it was playing. But I turned it on, you know. I went to practice. Who cares? Did you show up for the game? Right. Woo, glory to God. Like I've said before, too many people think that there's going to be sideline Christians. There ain't no such thing. God don't run his program that way. He needs every person that he's put there. Hallelujah. He said the whole body, every little piece of it, every housewife, every child is fitly framed together. That makes the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, when you go through the book of James that we're reading there, and I almost called this choose your lust, but I didn't think that would go over just right. But the word lust doesn't always mean sexual desire, as we understand. And a lot of times in the Bible, that's what it's talking about. But lust in general, as we know here, he's not talking about that specifically. But he's saying you war and you fight and you kill others so you can have, but yet you don't got it anyways. I've seen those people, you know, they think, oh, this is wrong in the church. So they go and just try to destroy that person, thinking that's going to help them, and it didn't help them. And then it goes to the next person, then it goes to the next person. Instead of recognizing that, you know what, you might be what's the problem. Amen. Or they go, not person to person, but church to church to church to church, don't they? And before you know it, they're on a 5-year cycle, aren't they? Especially around here, I've watched them happen. I've watched them go to brother Craig's and then over to Brother Chad's and then they'll go to Brother Ray's and you, sure enough, they'll be back there. You just put a watch on it. You give it a few years, they'll get mad about something, be over here. You know. It's a vagabond. It's a wrong spirit because choose you this day. What are you going there for anyways? That's right, brother, sister. If you go to the house of the Lord for any reason besides the Lord, you might as well stay home. That's right, because as much as we appreciate being together, and that's part of the reason is that we can encourage one another and things, but you didn't come here to see one another. You know, I got to see the Choas last night. That was a great time. I appreciate that. But I didn't skip church to do it, as some people would have. Hallelujah. I've seen ministers do it. So it affects anyone. But anyways, he says here in the book of James, he said there's fighting, and there's war in your members. You lust, and you don't have it. And you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you're asking so amiss that you don't even get what you wanted anyways because it's so far from the will of God, God won't give it to you because he does love you. Amen. Hallelujah. And what do we begin to find here is lust. Lust in itself isn't just about physical intimacy or perversion of the devil. It's this. I looked it up in the Strong, or not Strong's, but Webster. It says an intense longing, a craving, an enthusiasm, or an eagerness. And to help you, an antonym, the opposite of being lustful for something, is to be apathetic and indifferent. Lazy and don't care. So what I'm trying to say today is, you know what? Here's what it is. I've met every person I've ever gone to. They all serve their God. They all serve their God. They're very faithful in serving their God. Now, chances are, if they're not serving the Lord and they're supposed to be, they're serving a God they don't intend to be serving, but they sure are serving Him. Every man was made to worship. Every man was given emotion. Every man will have those things stimulated one way or another. Now, God put those in a man to be stimulated by His Word, by His presence, to come down in the cool of the evening and spend it with you, Brother Dan. That's why God put those faculties. But what does a man do? He begins to think, well, like the Garden of Eden all over again, maybe the Word isn't all there is to it. Oh, I can have the Word, but I can have this too. I could still serve the Lord. I still go to the message. I won't deny Brother Branham. But can I just have this little thing over here? You know, that's okay. And we all shake our hands, but how many times we just open the door right open? Say, come on in. It ain't no big deal. And some, you know, I appreciate people at least got enough shame to try to hide it. But we're in a day now where people don't even hide it. You say, well, should you hide your sins? Well, the problem is they don't think they're hiding their sins because they're doing it in such a way you can tell they don't think it's sinful in the first place. Did I say that so you understand? It's one thing, you know, at least you feel shame that you're trying to hide it. It's not right. You ought to repent and get right anyways and get that thing in your life. But to just put it out there shows you're not even shameful anymore. So you don't think it's even wrong. And what does that do is it will grieve the Spirit of God so quick out of anyone, because how can you not see these things, brother, sister? Don't tell me, well, they're so blind. I understand that. But what did Jesus do? He still deeply sighed when He had to constantly and tell them what the Scripture really meant. He said, are you still without understanding? He's like, these are the simple. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they went and said, well, we didn't get any bread today. So, oh, that's right. We're not supposed to go to Kroger's. We're supposed to go to Walmart. That's what they were thinking. We went to the wrong store to get bread. And Jesus is going to waste His time telling you the whole 3.5 years of ministry. He's telling you where you ought to buy your bread at. No, He said, how long are you without understanding? It's not what goes in a man that defiles, it's what comes out of him. And they said, then they understood. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. How many times does God have to do that? And we could sit there and just point right at them disciples, but we all been there so many times. We're sitting there, and what happens is you get alone. That's what does it. You get alone. And you begin to reason out there with that demon spirit, because that's what it is. It's a devil. That's all it is. And you begin to formulate an argument why this is okay. And yeah, I could put that quote there. Yeah, that fit real good. And this scripture, yeah, that's just fine. Ooh, that one. Ooh, better skip over that. But just don't tell nobody about it. People don't even read that part of Jeremiah anyways. They probably ain't gonna. So it'll be all right. And sure enough, what happens is when you finally going to serve the Lord, God don't let you just sit out there by yourself. He'll put you right in here. Amen. And all of a sudden, some brother be talking, won't he? And go right down your alley and say, you know what? I used to struggle with that. Didn't even know you were doing it. Hallelujah. But the Lord delivered me. And you go, wait a minute. If they needed delivered to get peace, and I'm thinking this is okay, something's wrong somewhere. Choose emulation, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Out of the Bible, let me just quote it to you. Matthew 26:41. You all know this. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh will be desiring to be stimulated at all times. It always wants to be stimulated. It always wants to feel what it wants to feel. Your spirit that you had in the world now, come on, it always wants to have that same emotion, those same chill bumps that you used to have when you got all inspired. But then when you get to realize, what am I even inspired to? Nothing. What are these good feelings for? Not a lot. And if we're stuck in sin and we stay there because we got the chill bumps, or our flesh feels good, or I came to church and I don't feel sick, so I don't need to pray for this service. But we come sick. My goodness, we're here early because, well, usually you can't do anything but pray. Isn't that right? I think that's why God does it sometimes, is to get you to realize maybe you ought to just pray on your own instead of making the Lord let something come on you.
Come on, amen.
Hallelujah. But I appreciate God. He's such a good father to us, ain't he, brother, sister? He don't let us sit out there and just go down to a devil's hell. He comes and he puts roadblocks in our way. He comes and makes a minister say exactly what's going on in your life to drive you not to death but back to life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And what does he do? And thank God for it. He lets the devil get on you. And the devil's too stupid to stop before he exposes himself. Isn't that right? He always pushes you just until you finally recognize, what am I doing? What am I doing? How many times you get on some kind of kick about something? Just anything. You know, it could be sports. It could be fishing. It could be whatever. You get kind of an interest in it. And in itself, it wouldn't be that bad. But then the devil gets a hold of it. And before you know it, that's all you can think about. Before you know it, that's all you can do. And then what happens is you go to try to find peace with that thing, and it just ain't there. You try to go to sleep. You can't think about nothing else. You're just sitting there rolling and tossing and everything else. And what does it do? It'll keep you doing everything but pray. Because then you think about praying, but you're like, man, I spent all that time and now I feel convicted. I better just, you know, stay away from the Lord. Has that ever helped anybody? The second you find yourself away from the Lord, I'm here to tell you what to do. Run back. I didn't say jog. I didn't say walk. You run back to God. Enoch didn't run or walk without God. He walked with God. If you're without God, you better be scurrying back to Christ.
Amen.
But when you got the Lord with you, that's the time to walk because you're going the right way.
Yep.
Footsteps is meaning possessions. You go just as fast as the Lord is going. Don't go no faster, no slower. Hallelujah. Your flesh is desiring the stimulation. Your spirit's desiring the stimulation. But deep down, there's a soul there. And that soul was made to be stimulated, brother, sister. I'm so tired of these doctrines we've been getting in the message that for you to get a little excited about it, it's Pentecostal fanaticism. Bunch of deadbeat. And then they'll say, you're looking for sensationalism. No, I just actually believe what we're saying. I believe that I was in sin. I was in shame. I was into a devil's hell. And Christ in His mercy. Not only did he pick me up and save me and sanctify me, but before I even did any of that, He already chose me. He already called me one of His. How does that not stimulate you? How does that not make something come out of your mouth and out of your life? Not just words, but a life. Hallelujah. No, don't take your words away. Give Him a praise to God. Amen. You show me one time God said, oh, too much praise. Oh, that was too loud. Fanaticism isn't nothing to do with volume or activity. Fanaticism is why are you doing it? Are you doing it because if you don't feel spiritual? There's a problem. If you only do it because if I don't do this, then I feel like the service is a failure. And that gets into a minister's head many times. I've watched him do it, just waiting for somebody to do something that they think is the evidence of God. The evidence of God is His Word.
Amen.
And His Word, again, doesn't just sit there. His Word will manifest itself. And if everybody's living in sin, it ain't time to run and jump and run the aisles. As we just read there, He said, humble yourselves. He said, stop. You're living in a bunch of iniquity and a bunch of nonsense. You're destroying one another. He said, before He even started, He said, contend for the faith because you're losing it by the second.
Amen.
He said, turn your laughter into mourning. He said, get down and find God again because you left Him.
Sure.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
why? They began to be stimulated with lust, thinking, desire, a corrupted lust that, you know, if I could just get those people out of my church, if I just didn't have to deal with them no more, I'll be so much better. Whew, that got real quiet. I don't know. I hope you all love each other. Hallelujah. And usually the people you want to run off is the ones that's supposed to be here for sure. And the ones you think supposed to be here probably need to move on.
Yep.
Woo, glory. I'm just going to be real transparent. That's fine. But when we started church, I had an idea of some people I thought might come and some that didn't. There ain't a one of them here besides that guy. I'm just being honest with you. There's some things that happened later on that changed the picture a little bit, but there's others I thought, oh yeah, they'll probably be coming and they ain't nowhere to be found. Don't ask me to explain it because it's not my program. And that's not success. That's not failure. The word is success or failure. And I don't care if I'm preaching the four walls. As long as the true word is still going forth, it's a success. Amen. Amen. As long as we don't bring down the bars and say, oh, it's okay to speed again. It's okay to wear tight clothes. It's okay to bring the TV back and to do the things of the world and talk just like everyone else. Amen. I'm going to hit on that one. We got these little substitute cuss words, don't we? You get the spirit behind that, it's the same devil that curses like in the world. Don't you say nothing like that. And don't give me that argument. I hear it from students all the time. Well, what do you say then? You know, when you stub your toe or hard, what do you say? Say, praise the Lord. And some people, well, see, that's the difference is I've recognized my flesh has no power over what is in my soul. Sure, there might be a reaction. Don't tell me you cuss. I don't believe that. When you've been born again, that nature's gone. It, need to find Christ. That's right. Or you so far backslid, you just back in the old nature again. It's all got that way. So I don't want to say you're not necessarily saved, but you way back there somewhere. I'll get to that a little bit in a minute. But how much we can all identify with lust of the flesh. But what I really want to talk about tonight, what about lusting after the things of God? What about lusting for to see the word fulfilled and lusting to be in the house? And that sounds terrible. I know that. But you remember the definition I read. How about being eager to go to the house of God? How about being excited? How about caring about what happens in the house of God? How about caring about your prayer life? How about having an intense longing to be in the presence of God?
Yes, sir.
If I use the word lust again, please. Believe, do it with what I just said there, not the things of the world now. And is there lust in the Bible? Is there an intense desire? Here's what I want again. I'm going to read some scriptures and I'll get moving here in a little bit. That everything the devil has is always a copy of God. Always. So it doesn't matter how filthy, how disgusting it looks. That deep down in there is a picture that would reflect to what God is actually trying to say. And when you see a man who's lustful and all these things and people that run to and fro and everything else, what does it reflect is what our Maker's love was to us. Oh my, I'm not even worried about my love. His love to me, that when I was filthy and wretched and vile, He loved me beyond all those things. He saw my need and He said, I'll pay it in full. The Savior came and became my sin bearer.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, we're getting to the place. Now we preach about the blood and everybody just, well, that's nice. Praise the Lord. No, there's a group of people who can see what that blood, what it cost. Amen. The intent. And if it cost that much, that means the Lord had to really care to spend it.
Amen.
He took the blood. He didn't put it in a cruise somewhere and say, let's all worship this. What did God allow the blood of His Son to do? Fall right on the ground. Why? Because it wasn't that meant so much to Him. It was, and as much as we reverence what happened on Calvary, what did God? God wasn't, that was a means to an end. That wasn't Him just glorifying Himself. He said, I got a purpose in this. I've got a reason I'm doing this because I see my children. I've made this whole universe. I made this world. I made these animals. I made these stars. I made that sun and that moon for one thing, and that was my Son.
Yes,
now the one thing's fallen. I can't leave it like that.
No way.
And He came and He knew the price it would pay. He'd already decreed it and already paid for it before Adam even did it.
Yes,
glory to God. And every son of God, He did the same when He laid down His life on Calvary. He wasn't interested in just laying the blood down and saying, look how great I am. He said, I'm getting those souls back to myself. I'm going to get every one of them, even all the way down the space of time there in Laodicea. I'll get that one right there. I'll get that one serpent seed, everybody. I'll find that one out there. Everybody's already labeled serpent seed because of what they did or what their parents did. Or I'll go grab that one. Pull them right back to myself. Hallelujah. Out of 1 Corinthians 16, turn there. And this is that part, and I'm just going to say it like it is. This is the part where you kind of just read over it. I know that sounds terrible, but unless you're being real spiritually minded and thinking about what's being, he's like, oh, okay, he's closing out here. He's saying thanks to everybody and say, pray for me, I'll pray for you. But I want to show you something he says here. 1 Corinthians 16. Let's go to verse 13. And Paul admonishes the Corinthians before he closes out. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves. If you meet someone who's a crack addict, they're addicted. They'll do anything. They'll steal, they'll kill, they'll pillage, they'll sell off their houses, they'll sell their cars because they got to have it. And Paul used the word addicted. These people, they got to be there. They got to be at church. They see a need, they got to go there and pray. They see somebody needs a need, they go to the store and they already bought it before they said anything about it. They just addicted themselves. He said, I had a need, they already fulfilled it before I even asked. Addicting themselves. We can't get people to take a dose, much less be addicted. But I say, Lord, I want to be known as the house here of Stephanas, as I'm addicted to the ministry. Amen. The ministry ain't just preaching right here behind. This is the first fruits of going out into the people of God. The ministry is the bride of Christ. Amen. Addicted to it, to where you do honestly walk through Walmart thinking about it.
Right.
Where you go to the job thinking about it. You're addicted to the ministry. Lord, I got to have it. That was good, but I need more. I just got to keep putting it in. I got to keep putting it in. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says this, and you can keep reading there. Hallelujah. But what a mighty thing. It says, take the rod and gather the people. 1950. Listen now. The medicine was put in the cabinet, God's medicine cabinet. Do you believe he had a medicine cabinet? Here's what he was. Wasn't he the lily of the valley? Where do you get opium? From the lily. Is that right? Lily is where you get opium. What does opium do? It soothes every pain.
That's right.
What makes the opium take effect like that? First thing, the lily, before it can become, get the fragrance out of it in the opening. It has to be crushed, mashed up, and squeezed out. The opium comes, then dispatch it. It goes mixed with other things into it. Jesus, he was crushed at Calvary, and the opium of that lily squeezed out. God's got a great cannon full of it tonight and can by faith and inject it into every sick person here.
Amen.
And you know, when you get on opium, you just, everything's calm. Every fear has left. When the lily of the valley, the opium is down from a natural lily, you get over it soon and have to have more in you. Hallelujah. And you could go through it. You could think, you know, some people, they drink a lot. You know what they call that stuff? Liquid courage. Man, you find the wimpiest man in the world, you give him a few, all of a sudden, man, he'd take you out. Why? Because he's done lost his mind. And I'm so happy that the mind that I had in this world, it needed lost. Because God gave me the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ already knows everything. So what do I care? I'm feeling good. Why? Because it don't matter if there's a Goliath standing here. I thank David for that. He just got so stimulated. He said, what are you all talking about? What are you talking about? He didn't have liquid courage. He had spirit courage. Amen. See, it's just a type, brother, sister. The devil thinks he's got it, but when God gives you the real opium, when God gives you the real stimulation, oh, it'll do what the fake does times a thousand.
Amen.
It'll make a person look at cancer and say, praise the Lord, man, I'm feeling good. You can't eat. I don't know what you're talking about. I feel great. Hallelujah. I don't know if some of y'all believe that or not. I don't know. I mean, do we? Oh, brother, it's just such a hard time. Well, I'm going to write you a prescription. You're only taking one dose of Holy Ghost. You need a few more. Huh? I'm going to prescribe you a little bit more in the morning and in the afternoon. And amen. And the world say, oh, that's just being silly. That you're just not being real. But look, that's the promise of God, brother, sister.
Right.
Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord's my strength.
Amen.
Amen. That's what Nehemiah said. He says, what are you doing moaning? What are you doing complaining? He said, we done built the wall.
Yeah.
We're good. We got it. We're protected. Now take your ease, rest, and give God praise.
Amen.
And when you finally know that you've been saved, I hope, been redeemed by God, what are we sitting here still worried about? Oh, but you know, they might actually elect Hillary Clinton.
So what?
Oh, did you hear? Korea's getting nuclear weapons. Yeah, our own government probably has 1,000, and I trust Korea more. Hey, man, I ain't worried about none of that. What are you kidding? Dude, I'm so high on the Lord now. That's right. I got so much opium of God's Spirit on me, so much stimulation. See, I got to use the right words, or we think it's of the world. But look, it's just a copy. Devil's just trying to get. Look, Brother Bram talked about wine over and over and over again there, and I think it's the fourth seal. That's right. I'm gonna read it to you. Actually, I'm gonna do that right now. Out of the fourth seal, he says, "Now, as oil symbolized the Holy Spirit, then we find out that oil and wine is connected in worship." We find that oil and wine is connected in worship. See, always connected in worship. Oh, brother. All that screaming and shouting and rejoicing. I mean, that's not really all that necessary. I mean, we don't need all that. We need a quality Holy Ghost. What does that mean? You say quality, I say boring. You think I'm dead, but you're the one dead. Because, and Brother Bram said, if you ain't got no emotion in your religion's dead. You know what you do with dead things? You bury it, because you don't need it no more. And I think if we've got that theology in our head anywhere, that, you know, I can't raise my hands too much. You know, somebody, how many times you had that devil come by? He said, you say amen every time he says anything.
Amen.
Praise God. That's right. Hallelujah. Now, I don't believe in just saying it haphazard, but if it's the word, amen. If it's the word, I hope everything's the word. If you're not saying amen, I'm a little scared because maybe I ain't saying the word. I believe it's the word. And if I'm saying the word, not only just an amen is our voices, we ought to give all of ourselves to it. Amen. And when God comes and brings his word and gives you a dose of this opium, takes all the pain away, all the burn away, I don't think we ought to be like, well, that was nice, Lord. Okay. See you later. That ain't what an addict does. He says, woohoo! Yes! That's what I was looking for! Don't give me none of that weak stuff. Up it up! Let's go! Come on! And the more you get of the Lord, the more you just got to have more of it. That's right. What happens is too many of us cut ourselves off. And what happens, you begin to wean off your addiction. Hallelujah! And if it's something of the world, that's good. But if it's the Lord, no sir. We ought to thirst and hunger for it more and more every day. It ought to be our joy more today than it was when we got saved, more than it was 10 years ago, more than it was before you walked into church. You ought to desire the things of God even more now. You ought to just hunger to see somebody get healed. You have to just hunger to see someone get saved. I tell you what, I just love it. That's what it's just my heart's desire more than anything, is I see somebody really just get the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Just get it, because too many people want you to give it to their flesh, and you can't do it. I can't make you feel good enough to get it. I don't know. You might be sicker than a dog, and that's when you finally get it. That has nothing to do with it. Well, I was told I was supposed to feel a chill bump. I was supposed to have this. And like Pentecostals, I got to speak in tongues. And others say you don't have to speak in tongues. Or if you do, you didn't get it either. That's our doctrines now. Yeah. Somebody does speak in tongues, oh, you just got some Pentecost, you know, denomination experience. See, when we get it, we just believe. They won't say that because they know what the prophet said, but that's what they believe. Yes, sir. Oh, just got it. Hallelujah. No, don't tell me you got the Holy Spirit with no wine attached. They that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. The word is the truth. The spirit brings it to life. And without that spirit, that same word that so many, even in our own ranks, are trusting in, is actually what's going to kill them. Because they never got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They trusted in the Word, but without the Spirit, you're on the wrong side of where you want to be. But praise God for those that have found themselves down at Calvary, have died to sin, been resurrected by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your worship is accepted before God. And don't tell me, it's got wine in there, brother, sister. It's got stimulation. Don't tell me you had cancer 10 years ago, healed today, and you can't even say an amen. No, sir. And then don't tell me that you really recognize yourself a sinner, heading to hell, and now today you're saved, and you can't give God praise. No, sir.
When the sons of God saw the plan of redemption, they shouted for joy. Hallelujah! I think if we'd recognize that, do you want, like this, do you want God sitting on you? Then why are you sitting on Him? Can I say that again? You're sitting on, you know, oh Lord, why didn't you heal me today? Why did you make me wait so long? Well, why does it take so long for you to get them praising me? Hallelujah! I love Him, I love Him, I love His Word, brother, sister. I'm so glad I got this one. I'm so glad it's not born. Just imagine if we had to really worship a God like the Catholics thinks we got. Oh man, that'd be terrible. I don't want to go to heaven. That's the most boring thing in the world. It is. Stand, sit, read a paper, go home. And some people have religions like that in our message just the same. Don't kid yourself. They got it. Oh, you know, we got to sing this and that's it. And we do this and we do this. And then we, you know, we worry about how long every little step took. And if we don't get it just right, boom, service was worthless. Just fogged up my glasses even worse. But Brother Bram was led to search, to set up church order. Church order has one purpose, for the Holy Ghost to be able to move. I'm going to say that again. The church order has one purpose, so that the Holy Spirit can move in a service. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit ain't moving, you missed it. And don't tell me the Holy Spirit's moving and everyone's dead. Don't tell me you get real revelation and it don't give you no stimulation. It's not true. You got some good information. It might make you feel smarter than your brother. But real stimulation of the Holy Ghost, it gets you to such a place where you don't even care what your neighbor thinks about it. I got so much joy bubbling up about it. I don't really care if you praise the Lord. I'm going to praise Him. Because I was lost. I was sick. I came in here. Man, I was hurting like crazy. But man, I feel good. Hallelujah. You know, we say do what you're supposed to do that you would get healed. And everybody says, well, I would if it was... You know, I want to feel better so I can get back to work. I couldn't care less about getting back to work. I want to feel better so I can praise the Lord the way I want to. Amen. That's why I want my good health. Is that okay, brother, sister? You roll me in a wheelchair, but when I get here, I want to be able to praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the wine, let me keep reading. I said, which come to me, that the wine symbolizes the power. It's the power of stimulation by revelation. See? And that's when something has been revealed. It gives stimulation to the believer because it's present by revelation. See? It's presented by revelation. It's something that God has said. It's a mystery. They can't understand it. See, and after a while, God comes down and reveals it and then vindicates it. See, the truth, if the truth is revealed, the truth is also vindicated. God constantly, no matter how smart the person might be, how brilliant he might be in his mind, if God don't back up what he's saying, there's something wrong. That's right, because it's the Word. Now, when Moses went out of there, under the inspiration of God, said, let flies come, flies come. He said, let frogs come, frogs come. See, what if he said, let flies come, they didn't come? See, then he didn't speak the Word of the Lord. See, he only spoke his own mind. See, that's not the way, and God's prophet was no exception. He never said, just believe this because I'm telling it to you. He said, watch. If what I've told you is the truth, watch God come and vindicate it right here, right now. Amen. I remember one time, he said, how many of you wants to receive the Holy Ghost? And there wasn't but a hand or two raised up. He said, I'm going to, and then the discernment began to move, and he discerned a few. He said, I'm here to tell you the reason that has happened is there's scores of you here who need the Holy Ghost. You're trusting in some sensation or some church or thing, but God is witnessing that I'm not up here presuming. You need it. Amen. Hallelujah. God does not waste His time. He's using every minute, every hour, every second for a purpose. And when God sent His Word, He wanted you to feel good. Amen. He wanted you to feel better. I think it was John said, I want you to prosper in health as your soul's prospering. Well, some people, I can't say amen to that because your soul seems so defeated and dead all the time. I don't want your flesh prospering like that. But when you got something on the inside, when you got a faith that I watch, it doesn't matter what storms of life come. It just stays at rock solid. Oh, man, your flesh might hurt like crazy. You might have a bad day just having all kinds of negative thoughts. But if you've got that deep down faith, hallelujah, that's what'll hold your soul. That's what is holding your soul. That's what's going to get that soul out of this world, brother, sister. Preaching to the flesh don't help anybody. Pleasing to just our spirit won't help us. And too many people, if they don't get that, they don't come. And really, what's the problem is because they know deep down they don't have the faith that they're either pretending to have. There we go. There's plenty of people I've known, especially after you pass for a while, that if I say this certain thing and do this little stuff and say some encouragement and those things, yeah, I'll get them to come to the house of God. But I'll watch them do the exact same thing again. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, as much as a pastor is there to help you, he's not to help you by psychology. Or counseling, as too many people have this day. He's got one purpose, to get you back to the Lord. Because no matter, you could move to my house. I can know every little thing about you and every single day and help you all the time. Guess what? Eventually, I'm going to bed. And I got to sleep. But there's one who can watch you anytime, anywhere, any place. And he knows a whole lot more about it than I do. And he knows a lot more to what to do about it than I ever can. And he desires to be in you.
Amen.
Not in your house, not just vacation once in a while, not meet you on the street. He wants to live inside of you. That wherever you are, He is. Wherever He is, you are. That's the stimulation, brother, sister, we all desire all the time. Let me know that I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me I'm just going to sit here and look at the wall. I'm here to praise His name. I'm here to love on Him with all that's in me. It gives me stimulation to watch somebody get healed right in a service. It does me so much more than anything you could do out in the world. I thank God for those things. I thank God for the things He does here in Temple Life. I thank Him when He provides a job for somebody. That's glorious. When he helps someone out, either financially or domestically, or things, that's great. But when you see somebody that finally gets help all the way down to their soul.
Amen.
And you watch them for years of struggle and toil all the time, up and down, left and right. And then one day something changes.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Oh my, I could just see those angels just rejoicing. Just rejoicing. Oh, you see one person crying. But what did Jesus say? He said the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents more than 99 righteous persons.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me come down a little bit further. He says, now the power of revelation brings stimulation to the believer. For the power of wine, natural wine, is to stimulate. It's to bring a person that's all slumped down to a stimulation. See? Well then, now there's a power of the revelation of the Word to give stimulation of joy to the believer. Stimulation of satisfaction. The stimulation that it's vindicated. It's proven. Hallelujah. It's called, the Scriptures refer to it as new wine. We always refer to it as, these are drunk on new wine, see, all right, or spiritual wine. I think the best interpretation would be on spiritual wine. As a natural wine reveals itself in stimulated power, so does the new wine as it reveals the Word of God, which is Spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
I was just, actually, this might have been in the devotion book, or I might have listened to it, one of the two, but it was coming out of Watchmen, What of the Night, 1960. And Brother Branham says this. He said, I'm so glad that there's a fountain open in the house of God tonight for a cleanliness. All that's unclean can be clean. Aren't you glad of that? So glad, my brother and my sister, so glad that it is. Oh my, I just love to feel this kind of a feeling. I remember one time when I was a young boy, there was a minister sister. I had a date with her. And she said, where will we go tonight, Billy? And I said, well, let's just go out and ride around somewhere. She said, let's go to a movie. I said, I don't go to movies. She said, well, there's a dance down at the Odd Fellows Hall. I said, I don't go to dances. She said, now, you said you didn't smoke, you didn't drink, you didn't dance, you don't go to movies. She said, what do you like to do for a pastime? Oh, I said, I like to fish and hunt, things like that. But that didn't interest her. And she said, where do you get any joy? Oh, I said, the joy of the Lord is my joy. See? And a few nights after that, I was in a tent meeting starting. The girl was there, and I made an altar call. And souls swarmed up to that altar. And I seen her sitting back there crying. I said, come here, Helen. And she come up to where I was. I said, you know what joy I have? I said, this is worth more to me than all the movies and all the dances. I said, it's the joy of the Lord. It's a peace that passes understanding. I know that someday I'll meet these people in glory. They'll all be saved and be over there. And that's the joy I have. She took a hold of my hand. She said, Billy, let me have that joy too. I said, just take your place right here. No matter what Ellsworth said, stand right here. And there was bracelets on her hands and rings and things. Raised her hands in the air and began screaming and shouting and praising God. God saved her and sanctified her that night. And oh, I know her brother come to me and was just a bawling me out about it. Said, "You made a fanatic out of my sister." And she come walking up. We were standing on a street corner. She got out of the car and come walking up there. She said, I believe it the way Billy preaches it. Amen. That old-fashioned gospel. She said, "I've got a peace in here I've never had before. I've been a church member, and I've been a church member since the cradle roll." See? Oh, it does something to you when you really get saved. Really get something in your heart. Amen. That's the real peace that we have, brother, sister, is that no matter what waves of life come, no matter what hardships we have, no matter how many ups and downs, you're satisfied. No matter how much tribulation is hitting the earth and how much the boat is just a rocking up and down, left and right, you got peace.
That's right.
That's the real one. Man, you can feel just a bubbling up all the time and what we call happiness. Well, that'll flee and go and who knows what. But when you've got peace that passes understanding, we only want peace we understand. I want peace all the time. I want peace where it looks like I have no reason to have peace at all. Where it looks like my whole life's a train wreck. I want to be able to say, "Yeah, I got peace." Well, no, that's just not reasonable. That's not sensible. That's exactly what I don't want. I don't want reasoning in my faith. I want it to be pure faith all the time. I don't want a tainted stimulation where it just feels good for a while and then wears off. I want something that makes it the word of the Lord to me every minute, every day, every hour, all the time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So many people, I've never seen them have the joy of the Lord before. They just got the slumps of the Lord.
Yep.
Here I am again. Ah, at least I made it to church. Such a struggle to get here, I tell you. Car broke down. Had to put a new tire on. I'm kind of tired from last night. Come on now, you know it. Over and over. And it's not just one service. It's every service. And they said, "Well, I praise the Lord." Man, and they just, how about I just sleep behind a pulpit like you sleep back over there? Maybe you quit blaming the service on me and blaming it on yourself. Okay. Praise the Lord. You get just as much out of anything you serve. You get just as much as what you put in. Actually, you'll get a 10,000, 100 million times fold because if you'll just put your little bit in, God will multiply that beyond the skies. That's right, brother, sister. If he could say it about tithes, just a giving a 10% faithfully. He said, "I'll open up heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't contain." How much more can he do with a soul that's been placed on the altar of God? Just like Isaiah said. He said, "There's no one else going to serve the Lord. Here am I. Send me, Lord."
Amen.
Look, he was signing. We don't know this in hindsight, but he was signing his own death warrant.
Yes, sir.
He said, "Here am I. Send me." Some people think serving the Lord is just going to be joy and no, that's what it is. You've got joy, but you have no reason to have joy. Do you understand? No reason up here. Something in here. Amen, because you're asking for it now when you serve the Lord. So many times people think they're going to come back to the Lord and everything's just going to be perfect all the time. And then something goes wrong and they said, "Well, I guess I missed it. I better go the other way now." No, you go the way of the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Just because the boss is getting on you don't mean it's out of the will of the Lord. That's probably one of the best times you're supposed to be there.
Yep.
I've watched so many just bolt that door as fast as possible. "Oh, they do me wrong. They do this and that." You lay down your life. What do you care? Lord tell you to be there? Well, lay it down, brother, sister. You haven't had to serve 2 million people before, but God's prophet Moses did. And he was constantly laying down his life to the point where his father-in-law said, "If you keep this up, boy, you're going to die. You're not going to make it. You can't handle this no more." And he got so fed up with them. Every time they would something go wrong, they'd blame it on him and they'd get cursed for it and then they'd ask for forgiveness, blah, blah. But look at the love of God that was shed abroad. It was just a type of Christ, brother, sister. The judgment of God came. What did he say? "I'm done with these rebels. Get out of my way, Moses. I'm going to kill them all." The love of God laid down. He said, "Take my name out." He didn't say, "Kill me." He said, "Take my name out." There's no love of a man says, "Send me to hell for them."
Right.
Do you understand? Take my name off the book of life because I love them that much. He was pulling from a stimulation a whole lot deeper than his feelings.
Yeah.
a whole lot different. Do you see what I'm getting at tonight? He said, you envy, you lust, you strife. He said, none of these things ought to be so. That's why you don't have what you're looking for. And here was Moses dealing with problem after problem after problem. But at the end of the day, he had the love of God shed abroad in his heart. He had such a connection with God, he felt like he could tell God a better idea than himself. Hallelujah! And without the message, we'd have thought God messed up there. Then the message came. That was just Christ demonstrating himself that he could have killed us, but his heart reached out and it went through Moses. He said, stand in the gap. Don't let them die. Those are my children. And God has done the same in this day. We should have been cursed. We should have died. But he said, oh, I'll send him Elijah the prophet. He'll bring that word in. Right before that whole circle goes totally black, he'll put a sliver of light in there. And we're still here today, standing in that sliver of light. And we can't seem to get stimulated. Come on, brother, sister. We ought to be dead. I shouldn't be standing here behind this pulpit. I ought to be in a tomb somewhere or in a morgue church somewhere. But God has brought us to the truth. Because you're the light of the world. Glory to God. If our stimulation isn't coming from the Word, we've got the wrong spirit. That's all there is to it. Hallelujah. This is another quote that spoke to me a lot. I've heard it a few times on a tape. Coming out of Questions and Answers 1964, Brother Bram's talking about that restaurant he went to. He said, I went to a place the other day. It was playing one of these old little dirty jukeboxes, all that stuff. I didn't even want to take my family. I said to that lady, how much them records cost? 10 cents a piece. How many will it play in an hour? She told me. I said, here's the money, unplug it. Well, she said, I couldn't do that. Them kids come in here to play that. And I couldn't spend no money there. I went somewhere else, see. Well, that stuff would make you nervous. You'd have to go down and get a bunch of tranquilizers to take after hearing that crazy stuff. That just irks a Christian. I hope you're ready for this one. If you like that kind of stuff, you know what's wrong with you? And let me give you our updated version. Oh, you just need to come back. And it's okay. Just repent. And it'll be all right. You know, you're still a good guy. It's okay. It's just a few trials. I mean, we all got a flesh. We're all a triune being. Excuses, 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 excuses. Don't tell me you still love the things of the world and you love God. You don't. You're still not dead yet. You're still alive. That's the problem. You need to die. And Brother Bram didn't shy from the answer. And I thank God for a prophet like that. And I'm sitting here with all this great nonsense that so many people are trying to bring to this message. But I could go back and God recorded it so I could just listen to it. And I could watch it. Thank God for that. Just as much as this Bible. I'm so glad I ain't got to take somebody's word what Paul wrote. God made sure I got it. Amen. He did the same with his prophet. What did he say? He said, if you like that kind of stuff, you know what's wrong with you? You need to get saved. Because what's in you is feeding on something besides the Word. It's feeding on you. Couldn't imagine Jesus doing a thing like that, could you? Could you imagine one of the prophets doing such a thing? Don't you see, friends? The whole thing all over is the devil. And then the Bible said, how could we come in a form of religion and just do exactly like the Christ, see? But the only way you'll ever be able to tell it is not join the church or join this church or that church. Is stay with the Word. He is the Word. Can you give me one more scripture tonight? Let's turn there. Matthew 11. And I'll close on this. Remember talking about the right stimulation tonight. I want it all over me every time, every place. I don't care. You call me fanatical all you want. I feel better this way than I ever did in the world or feeding off that garbage you think so exciting. I know what happens at the end of the day. You go home just depressed you ever were. But when I get in the presence of the Lord and I know that my soul's saved, I've been redeemed, I got all the, even all my backslidings washed out good, clean. Look, Brother Bram said, the blood didn't save you. He said, your faith saves you. The blood keeps you clean. So we need to dip in that Calvary all the time, brother, sister. Hallelujah. When I can go home with a clear mind knowing I'm right with God, how do you not be stimulated? Hallelujah. Okay, I got to remember where I was at. Of course, this thing. What chapter did I tell y'all? Matthew 11. Now I don't remember what verse. I didn't want to read the whole thing. Gotta love technology when it don't work, isn't that right? Oh, here we go. Yes, verse 16. Matthew 11:16. It says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like the children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. And if you read the next verse, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done, because they repented not. What's he saying there? He's saying, look, you asked me to pipe so you could dance, and then you didn't dance anyways. You asked me, okay, oh, we don't want to be all fanatical. Fine, we'll just be mournful. And said, then we lamented, and you didn't do nothing. He said, I've done everything you wanted me to do, but you a stimulation that isn't the word. And I can't give it to you. I'm going to give you the word. They wanted something that would stimulate them. He said, no, I'm going to give you what's supposed to stimulate you. But you're so far in the world, it don't stimulate you. So many people have done that with this message. They say, well, I didn't get no healing from it. I didn't get delivered from it. Well, you came the wrong way. You were looking for somebody to say, oh, it's okay, live in sin, do the things of the world, that's fine. But we'll anoint you with oil. We'll scream it out. Boom, you're going to see the power of God. No, you don't. You see the power of God when you're on the word of God. Amen. The word and the power is the same thing, brother, sister. Amen. And God has sent the right stimulation to us. What did he do? He said he rebuked them. He upbraided them after he said this, because he said, I've done miracles before all of you, and you still haven't repented. Amen. I've played the right tune for you to have joy, and you ain't doing nothing. Amen. Why? Because you're dead. Twice dead, plucked up from the roots. There ain't no hopes for those that once they hear the word and they say, eh, I don't need nothing to do about it. Praise God, we didn't come that way tonight. Amen. I hope you didn't. But come with saying, I want that word so bad. It's that opium in my soul. I just got to have, I'm addicted to it. Lord, give me another dose tonight. I've had good doses before throughout the week. You better keep on it. If you're only getting your dose on, there ain't no addict to only do it on Sunday and Wednesday. There ain't none that only do it once a month. Or when it's convenient, you're not addicted. You're just getting a flavor. You just like a little taste here and there. Don't tell, no. We're, you know, they're fanatics in the world and things like that. But like Brother Bram said about a baseball fanatic, don't tell me a guy hits a home run and you're a baseball fanatic and you say, well, that was nice. I said, you ain't no fanatic. Now, if you fanatic, you say, did you see that? See how high that ball went? How did he even hit that? That ball was going so fast. How much more the things of God, brother, amen, sister. Amen. Somebody see the service said, all I saw was some people, you know, praise the Lord. Said, no, you didn't see the Shekinah glory. You didn't see the presence of God. You didn't see the joy on the people's face. Some people think when the Bible says that Stephen looked like an angel, that he had big mighty wings and a sword come out. No, he shined with such confidence. He looked death right in the face and didn't move him at all. He actually took time to pray for him. We can't pray for him while we're living. He was praying for him while he was dying. That's how he shined like an angel. He had absolute authority. And I thank God for such an example. And I'm closing on this. A man who was looking beyond his fleshly stimulation. He wasn't lusting and things of the world and bike biting and stuff. He already told him the word, and he was letting him have it as far as the word goes. Do you understand? There's a big difference. There's a big difference from attacking people personally and hating them because you hate their flesh. But when you're preaching the word, you stay with it. I don't care how it cuts. Amen. He wasn't looking for their, you know, to have a good meeting because they responded so well to his message. He said, I only got an audience of one I'm worried about. What does the Lord think about this? Sure, and the second the heavens opened, oh, glory to God. And he said, the Bible says he saw Jesus standing. Hallelujah. And the other time you see the Lord sitting on the throne. But as Brother Bram said, when God saw his first martyr coming, his son stood to greet him in to the kingdom. When he saw him, he says, I see the Son of God standing on the right hand. What did he care? He said, stone me all day. That's fine. And as he was going down, I'm sure he didn't feel a lick of it, like Brother Bram said. And what did he begin to say? Father, lay not this sin to their charge. You know what? I believe that saved our prophet of that day. Saul was standing right there. And without that prayer, we wouldn't have had it. You don't think you're important? You don't think the stimulation that you're desiring is important? You don't think if you give over to your flesh, you're going to miss the will of God? You will, brother, sister. But if you only look for that deep down, oh, we all know what it's like, that time where you really know you've struck God. Where, you know what? I ought to be the most depressed person here, but man, I can't stop smiling. Man, that really does kind of hurt right there, but for some reason it don't bother me right now. Why? Because I'm in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank God. I even had one time where I remember this very specifically. I was laying there, just a hurting. I think I had a headache and things, and laid in my bed. And all of a sudden, I just had the thought, like, what am I doing in this body? Like, why am I dealing with this? I'm not built for this. Your body's just your house. It's not you. And I don't know how else to explain it, but like Paul said, he was translated up. I felt lifted up, like I wasn't even in it anymore. I'm like, hey, I feel great. And you know what I realized? That body is subject to the one I'm in right now. Wow. Who I really am, yeah. This flesh right here is subject to what. So you know what? I feel good here. You need to feel good, flesh. Right. There's always that war for a while. Don't let me kid you. It's going to fight back. It ain't going to say. It's going to come by with reasoning. It's going to tell your spirit. No, you're just kidding yourself. You better do this. You better do that. You know what you ate last week. You know what happened. That's why. You know what sin you did. That's why the Lord's punishing you. If you done made it right, don't worry about that. It's under the blood, brother, sister. You fight that thing off, he'll give up. What do we read there at the end? There in James, when he talks about forgetting about your lust and all those things, he says you ask and you ask amiss, and that's why you don't get it. He says don't do that. He says in verse 7, submit yourselves to the Lord, therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Right. Submit first, not second. The devil flees, now I'll submit to God. No, you submit to God now. You submit to His Word. You say, I'm healed before I see one sign of it. Then you resist the devil. Because if you don't have the promise behind it, you ain't going to be able to resist the devil. But if you're resting on the promise, it doesn't matter what the devil does. You've already got the possession he's trying to get from you. You've already got the substance he's trying to take. And you resist him, he'll leave every time. God bless you, saints. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like praising Him tonight, brother, sister. I don't feel like sitting on God. I was thinking that when I come here today. You know what? I like praising the Lord. It's fun to me. When I come here, I like to clap my hands and to sing. You know what? If we just did that for an hour, I feel like that's a good time. You understand what I'm saying, brother, sister? People looking for this or that. No, that's why I'm here. I'm here to worship His name. I'm here to give Him praise. If that same Spirit did. Hallelujah. And I believe I got the same Spirit. You got it tonight? And 556 if you don't know it, but if that same Spirit. You're going to have to help me now.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead.
Give Him praise now. Thank you, Lord.
Dwells in you. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Dwells in you. Dwells in you. Your mortal body, if that Spirit dwells in you, it will quicken.
Oh, it has to, brother, sister. Thank the Lord.
If that Spirit dwells in you, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you.
Yes, Lord.
Dwells in you.
We have that Spirit tonight. Amen.
That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Dwells in you. Oh, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in you.
Give Him praise now. Come on.
If that same Spirit.
And I got it tonight.
Christ from the dead. Dwells in you. Dwells in you. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Dwells in you. Dwells in you. Oh, it will quicken no mortal body. That Spirit dwells in you. It will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in you.
If it dwells in me.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. dwells in me. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, it will quicken my mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in me, it will quicken my mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in me.
Sing it again.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in me.
Yes, Lord.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in me, oh, it will quicken my mortal body. If that Spirit dwells in me, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit,
yes, Lord,
dwells in me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, brother, sister, just let the stimulation take over your heart. Let it sing praise out of your soul. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. How many believes you got the Holy Ghost tonight? And there's power. There's joy. There's stimulation of revelation in the heart of every person. Hallelujah. Know ye not. You know ye not. I should have went right to you there. God.
Not know ye not, ye are a temple.
You're God's house.
Know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Ye are a temple of the Holy Ghost. And hear your praise,
know ye not.
Know ye not, know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Ye are a temple of the Holy
Ghost. Sing it again. Sing that same verse.
Know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Know ye not, ye are a temple. Ye are a temple of the Holy.
Yes, I know, yes, I know.
Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, yes, I know.
Oh, I believe it with all my heart. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. I am a temple of the Holy.
Full of praise, power, and glory.
Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. I am a temple of the Holy.
Sing it again, full of praise.
Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. I am a temple of the Holy.
Yes, I know, yes, I know.
Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. I am a temple of the Lord.
Oh, just keep singing it, keep believing it. Yes, Lord, yes, I know, yes, I know, without a doubt. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. I am a temple of the Holy.
And I'm full of praise, come on.
I'm full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. I am a temple of the Holy.
Believe it for yourself tonight, sing it again.
Full of praise,
I'm full.
Full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. am a temple of the Holy.
Yes, I know. One more time.
Oh, yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am a temple. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am a temple. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. I am a temple. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, man, clap of praise tonight.
Praise
Thank you,
God.
Lord.
Praise God.
Glory! Glory to God! Yes, Lord! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Praise Jesus!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Thank you, Jesus!
Oh, I like that. Full of praise, not half full. I'm full of praise, full of power, full of glory.
Amen.
Amen. You know what glory is? Is it used to be here, and now you're here. I'm not just half glory. I'm full of glory.
Amen.
I'm in the image of the Son of God. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
Full of glory, full of praise, full of power.
Jesus.
How many's happy to be a Christian tonight?
Amen. Amen.
How many's heard from His voice?
And
say, Lord, I just open my heart and all of it. Praise Lord, let me just be the living Word of God in this day.
Yes, Lord
God bless you, saints. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him tonight. Sing Emmanuel if you don't know it. 565. Emmanuel, let's just praise Him tonight. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Oh, we worship You, Lord. We give You praise tonight, Lord.
His name is called.
And He's still with us tonight. Thank the Lord.
Emmanuel. God with
us. Oh, hallelujah. What He's revealed in our hearts. Thank the Lord.
Revealed.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord. You feel His presence with you.
His name is called.
Yield yourself to His Spirit. Say, Lord, take control.
Emmanuel.
Worship You, Lord Jesus.
Emmanuel. His name is
Yes, You are, Lord. Hallelujah. God with us, brother, sister.
Emmanuel.
He's God with
us.
Oh, and I'm thankful. Yes, Lord,
revealed in us, His name is called Emmanuel.
You believe that with all your heart? Sing it again. Sing it to Him.
Emmanuel.
Lord, I believe it. I believe Your word, Lord. I don't have to toil life alone. You're always with me, Lord.
His name is called.
Glory to God in the highest.
Emmanuel. He's God with us.
That each one your own way before the Lord. If you've been getting your stimulation from things of the world, brother, sister, it's going to run out. You're going to reap. You've sown the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. Don't let the devil get you on some reasoning that a little bit of sin's okay. The Lord's revealed to you things that don't need to be in your life. Would you make that right with Him? Don't wait on somebody else. You make it right with Him. You talk it over with him. Don't beat around the bush. God knows what it already is. You know he already revealed it to you. Put it right there and say, Lord, you're right. I was wrong. I've been yielding to that flesh. I don't need to. I'm not here to make an excuse, Lord. I'm here to say I'm a sinner and I need help. Bring me out of this nonsense. I'm supposed to be a Christian, Lord. I don't need to be bound up like a sinner would be. I've been delivered from this, Lord, and I believe your word tonight was for me. Fulfill it in my heart. God bless you, saints. God sees your hands. Now, you got enough faith to take that stimulation and say, Lord, stimulate me the right way. Hallelujah. Don't let me get all cold and formal on you. Don't make me have to have somebody force me to praise you, Lord. May that just begin to bubble up in my heart, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Father, get me away from my reasoning. Let me just yield to the presence of God when it comes. To not have those thoughts about what my neighbor might think. Or what the boys might think of me later. God, may I have a revelation. What you think about me. Lord, each heart here I trust. As they've bowed before you, made themselves right before you. Lord Jesus, that they want their worship to be accepted by you. Lord, may we not go at it haphazard, but may that perfect faith rise in every heart. You sent a message, Lord, not to give us half faith, but perfect faith. And I pray for each one here, Lord, that their mistakes be forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. And that their faith would be set free out of the cage of condemnation. To be able to rise in the glory of God, to have the joy of the Lord really on their soul, that breakthrough to where it's not just an emotion that might flee, but it's the joy of the Lord pouring out of their hearts. Not a peace that, well, later when trials come, they'll lose it, but a peace that passes all understanding. That when everyone else is falling apart, they're still standing. Oh, grant each one tonight, Lord. I trust their hearts. I trust each one in this building wants to serve you with all that's in them. And I pray that the devil be bound, be chained up and cast away from these people in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, grant each one. Fill that void with your presence in every heart, I pray. Have your way in every soul. Lord, under the sound of my voice, if there be one infirmity in any person here, may they be healed now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll be careful to give you praise. Be careful to thank you for all your blessings. Lord, you said in the Word, if we be ashamed of you, you're going to be ashamed of us. But Father, we're not of those that are ashamed. We don't want to be numbered as unbelievers. Lord, we're perfectly fine. We want to be identified with you. In your reproach, Lord, we want to be the one believer that still raises hands to you. Still give you a shout of praise when you do a miracle amongst us, Lord. To be that vessel that you can trust your word in. That we'll get the job done. Oh God, may we be just like Isaiah. Lord, here am I. Send me. Grant day each Christian tonight, Lord. Thank you for leading us by your Spirit. I feel your presence all around. Lord, and I thank you for it. Where would we be without your presence, Lord? Help us, Lord, to be more diligent than ever for the cause of Christ. May our eyes be set like a flint to the resurrection and ignore everything else that might happen in this life. Help us, Lord, we pray. We commit it to you, Lord, as a faithful Creator. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We ask in that name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. I just feel such a peace in the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. I love being able to sing Emmanuel. Not just a song, but as a declaration. He's God with us. He's here right now with us. And where has he been revealed? In our hearts. In us. Hallelujah. Wherever we go, brothers and sisters, he's always right there. Yes. You've been married. The two is one. And God, this time, he had to divorce Israel. But this one was predestinated. He married her before she did a thing. She's perfectly justified before him. Oh, Jesus. You feel his presence coming sweetly there. You know why? It's because you finally believe him. You believe his atonement made you pure. So you'll worship him without complex. You'll worship him without bringing up your sin every 2 seconds. That's the worship he desires. It's a faithful worship, not a faithless worship. That, Lord, your blood was good enough for me. I accept your mercy, Lord. I accept the grace of God for me. And Lord, I'm here to give you the praise. I was a leper. I should have died like everyone else, but you healed me. You've healed others, Lord, but they just kept going. But I'm here to turn around and to thank you for what you've done for me. Oh, blessed be his name. Oh, Christians, do you remember all the trials you've been through, all the hardships? Who's always been there for you? Even when you ran away from him, he never ran from you. Oh, just love on him tonight, brother, sister. I'm going to let Dad take the service at this point. But I want you to worship the Lord as long as he tells you. This is why you came, brother, sister, to be in his presence and to lift up his name. To worship him with all your heart. Your first part of worship was accepting that word for yourself. I believe you've done that. But let the stimulation now come from that revelation. Why did God, even the things I was doing wrong, why did God show me that? Because it's proven to me he loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's worth stimulating my heart for. Oh, God bless you, saints. Go ahead, Dad. You can be dismissed on this. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. He, man, and you. Oh, I love you, Lord. Thank you for everything.